This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Why is it that a group of people who claim to be destined for an abode of eternal success are miserably unsuccessful in this transient life? Why is it that a group of people who are meant to be the khalifas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth, the vicegerents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth, have become slaves to a godless capitalist society? Why is it that when you speak to these people and you speak about the atrocities which are committed against them, they all say they are committed because we are Muslims? They all say that our civil liberties are being eroded because we are Muslims. But when you look at them and you look at the solution that they're looking for, it's somewhere else. It's not in the Quran and the Sunnah. They are looking at this philosophy or they are looking at this ideology. They say the problem is that we're Muslims. That what is happening to us today is because we are Muslims. But if you look into their lives, they are looking at this philosophy. But one thing that they don't look at is the Quran and the Sunnah. And understand, for everybody else, other philosophies will work. Other ideologies will work. But for the Muslims, no other ideology, no philosophy will work. The only thing which will bring back the izzah of the Muslims is the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the only thing. And therefore, let's look into the life of the Prophet ﷺ and the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum about a time which will be full of fitna. And the Sahaba became very concerned. And they said, "Mal makhruju minha?" They said, "What will be the way out, O Messenger of Allah?" They became concerned. They said, "What will be the way out?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kitabullah." He said, "Hold on to the book of Allah in the time of fitna. This is what you have to do." And this is why for 1400 years, not a word, not a letter, not a dot has changed in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1400 years. In the period of 1400 years, rivers change direction. Civilizations fall and others rise. Languages become extinct and others evolve. But the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly the way it was revealed 1400 years ago upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a book regarding which Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." We have revealed it and we will look after it. Allah has taken the duty upon Himself to look after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore no interpolation can come unto it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hold on to the book of Allah. Fihi naba'u man kana qablakum." In it is the narratives of those who came before you, the stories of those who came before you. The Prophet ﷺ is speaking about a time of fitna. So what relation does fitna have about the stories in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a thing called sunnahs. And the sunnahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never change. They remain the same throughout humanity. And this is why, that if you want to understand why you're in the decadence that you find yourself in today, then you look into the stories of the old and you will find relevances. You will find how the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them. And if you look into the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun, you will find many relevances. You will find many relevances. What made Fir'aun haughty? What made him proud? It was his power. And this is why he killed, in some narration, 20,000 Israelite children. In some narration, 80,000. He butchered them. Because he wanted to secure his kursi. And you look at the powers today, that they can kill 1.5 million children in Iraq to spread their hegemony. This is exactly the same thing. Fir'aun had a policy that either you were with him or you were against him. And if you were against him, then Fir'aun would put you into bondage. What does society, what do the powers of today do? They put you in bondage, but bondage of many types. See, today what they do, they slap embargoes upon you, sanctions upon you. So when your people are sick, they don't have the medicine to cure. When you want petrol, you don't have the petrol. You don't have the infrastructure in your country. You cripple that economy. It's bondage. It's slavery. It's just a different form of slavery. And really, it would be no exaggeration to say that the Muslims living in the West, are like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who grew up in the house of Fir'aun. Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in the house of Fir'aun. And the Muslims in the West are like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who grew up in the house of Fir'aun. And he was a source of destruction for Fir'aun. But the reality is that we do not want to be a source of destruction for these people. Because the reality is that many of these people are good at heart. But we have failed in our duty. We have failed in our duty to these people, to call them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're caught up in the rat race. And all our days spent in the dunya, we have no time for anything else. We are the ummatis of a man sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after who no other prophet will come. And therefore the duty of propagating this deen is upon our shoulders. And you look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for 40 years, even before prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam won the hearts and the minds of the mushrikeen. And this is why when he stood up on the mountain of Safa and he said, if I was to tell you that there is a group, an army who are ready to attack you, would you believe me? And in one voice they all said, indeed we are ready to believe you, because we have always found you to be Amin. We have always found you to be Sadiq. When the mushrikeen would have given example of a person who had an upright character amongst them, they would say, look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even then, with his upright character, they turned away. Even then. And you look at our state, we want the dunya to convert, but look at ourselves, look at our state. We are regarded by the rest of humanity as the most self-righteous, self-conceited, whinging group of people on the face of this earth. Because we are only blaming other people for our decadence that we find ourselves in. And the reality is that we need to have a proactive approach. We need to put our energies back into society. We need to change ourselves. Because if we can't change ourselves, there's no way that we're going to revolutionize the dunya. You know, if you can't wake up for the Fajr namaz, then don't speak about revolutionizing the world, really. Because how is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to descend upon a group of people? Look at our society. Wallahi, look at our society. That 90%, 80 or even 70, even 50% of our women don't even know the farz of ghusl. You expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend? We have sisters, we have cousins who don't even know the farz of ghusl. They are mothers, they are wives. The whole life they go through it in a napak state. How do you expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend? The entire life, they go through their life, and the only time they become pak is the day they die and they are given ghusl. And then you expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend? See, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must do as much as you can, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help descends. And you look into the life of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see this again and again and again, that he did as much as he could. And then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended. And understand that to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a difficult duty, and you will find obstacles. But if you remain steadfast, if you stand for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your ajr is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you will find obstacles. So this is the approach that the Muslims should have, that you have a proactive and you do sabr upon the calamities, because our dar, our abode is the hereafter. This is what the Muslims aspire for. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time of fitna will come. So in this time of fitna, hold on to the book of Allah. Fihi naba'u man kana qablakum. In it is the narratives of those who came before you. Wa khabruhum ba'dakum. And the stories of those who will come after you. The news of those who will come after you. Why does Allah mention the news of those who will come after you? See, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a book which is a source of guidance until the final day. Shaitan promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala four things. He said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. He said, I will lead them astray. And you look at majority of humanity today, instead of becoming the servants of Rahman, they are the servants of Shaitan. Then he said, وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. And he said, I will give them unto their false passions and their desires. And subhanAllah, you can broadly define false passions and desires into two. One are your carnal desires, your desire for the flesh. And you look at our society, how it has succumbed to the wish of shaitan. Really, you look into our society today, that it is a sex-driven society. It is a sex-mad society. That the society promotes sex as long as you have safe sex, because according to them, it's a physical thing. You carry on. whilst Islamically it's a spiritual thing. When a husband comes to his wife, he recites du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards that child. And the ulama write that this is the first right of the child, because it's a spiritual thing. And you look at our society today, that if by the age of 16 you haven't broken your virginity, there's something wrong with you. This is what society promotes. Although a real man is not him who goes with the flow, a real man who can stand up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can stem the tide of society, because he believes that he's going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why out of the 7 people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will be that young man, nasha'a fi ibadatillah, who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first form is your carnal desire. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ I will give them unto the carnal desires. The second, that shaitan will delude you in believing into false aspirations of this dunya. He will make you believe in false aspirations of this dunya. And he will make this dunya the purpose of your life. Not only will he make this dunya the purpose of your life, he will not give you time to even think about the purpose of your life. And subhanAllah, how you see how the promise of shaitan is coming to pass. You know, they give you your TV sets, and then they give you your videos, and then they give you your DVDs, and then they give you your satellite channels, so you have more channels than you can even count. And then they give you your mobile phones, and then they give you voice activated mobile phones, and then they give you your camera phones, and then they give you your video phone, and then they give you the internet, and then they give the internet on your mobile phone. Like so that the posters say, you can shop until you drop dead. And when you drop dead, the same shaitan will say, لا تلوموني لوموا أنفسكم, don't blame me, blame yourself. I called you and you obliged. And you will be suckered like the billions who were suckered before you. So the second promise of shaitan was وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. The third promise of shaitan was وَلَا أَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْعَنَامِ, I will command them and they will slit the ear of the cattle. What the mushrikeen would do is that they would slit the ear and they would slit the animal, and they would let on the name of their gods, and they would let it walk. And wherever it fell, it was halal for the males and it was haram for the women. This is what they would do. The author of Tafsir al-Mazri mentions that this means that a time will come where shaitan will tell man to disfigure the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see this today, really. You look into our society, a consumer society, where they try to create chickens without feathers. They try to create chickens without feathers. Where recently in Switzerland, they found a fruit fly. And from that fruit fly, they found a gene which they dubbed eyeless. And when they noted that wherever they injected this gene, an eye would grow. And they injected this gene on 14 places of this dragon or this fruit fly. And on 14 places on the anatomy of the fruit fly, eyes grew. See, this is man playing God, playing with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it doesn't stop there. You look at those who reach the pinnacle of success. Really, look at those people who reach the pinnacle of success. Those like Michael Jackson. You know, this guy was a good looking person a few years ago. But he reaches the pinnacle of success, and then he's deluded by the dunya. He even thinks that there must be some more contentment out there. But doesn't realize that the only contentment is the contentment of the heart. The only time you can really have contentment is when you recognize your creator. And then what does he do? He starts playing around with his features. He starts disfiguring his features. And now you look the way, the guy doesn't even look like a human being. Because this is what shaitan said, I will command them and they will change, disfigure the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth promise of shaitan is, وَلَأَعْمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, you know, the traditional interpretation for this verse was to shave the beard was to change the creation of Allah, because this was a sign of a man. To pluck the eyebrows was a sign of change, a sign of changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transcends time and space, it is relevant for all time, because it guides us until the final day. Today, It relates to your GM foods. This is changing the normal process, changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when they take the antifreeze gene from the Arctic fish and they inject it into your tomatoes so they have longer shelf lives, this is playing with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because believe it or not, fish don't have relationships with tomatoes. It doesn't work like that. This is GM food. You're playing with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the fourth promise of shaitan. And you see it coming to pass today. What greater change could there be that a man becomes a woman and a woman becomes a man? And shaitan says, I will command them and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hold on to the book of Allah. فِيهِ نَبَأُ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْدُكُمْ وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hukum between you. It is a thing which passes verdict between you. هُوَ الْفَصْلِ لَيْسَ بِالْحَصْلِ. It is a thing which differentiates between right and wrong, and it is not just. The Prophet ﷺ articulated this 1400 years ago, that when the Muslims will think that their honor lies somewhere else, that Allah will disgrace them. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These were a group of people who were regarded by the rest of humanity as full of safilin. And then the Prophet ﷺ came and he transformed these people. He brought an impetus, he brought a drive, and this was Islam. And then these very people who were regarded as the worst of people became the best of people to walk upon this earth after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. What was it? It was Islam. See, for other people, other philosophies will work. For other people, other ideologies will work. But for the Muslims, nothing besides Islam will work. Because this is ummah regarding what Allah, the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala articulates in the Quran. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحُونَ لِلْمُنْكَرِ. That you are the best of creation. You are taken out for mankind. Now, if you think that your izzah lies in some other philosophy and ideology, you're deluded. The only time the Muslims had respect were when they held on to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at history. And then when they turned away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah turned away from them. And this is why we find ourselves in the decadence that we do today. Look at the state of the Muslims. And until we realize that the problem that we have today is because we have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, we go back to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and find our remedy. But the problem is that we look for remedies everywhere else other than where we should. And this is why we're in a sick state. Aren't we sick today? Aren't the minds of the youth confused? What should we hold on to? Aren't the hearts sick? Because society has many impulses. It will tell you, pull you in many directions. And then the more direction you go, the more confused you will be. Do you know what causes seasickness? Seasickness. Do you know what causes it? See, the ears send a message to the brain that, you know, when the boat rocks, that there's something wrong. And the eyes send a message to the brain, no, I see everything's fine. So you have two confusing messages going to the brain. And as a consequence, you feel sick, you vomit. You feel sick. And this is why today you will find that the Muslim Ummah is sick, because we are pulled in so many directions. The minds are sick, the hearts are sick, the brains are confused. And the only thing which remedies seasickness is what? That when you come up to the top deck and you look at something which is totally straight, like the horizon, then all the confusion is removed. And similarly, there is only one guidance for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this in the beginning of Surah Qaf. He says, Alhamdulillah الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his servant, a book, and he has left no crookedness in it. And until we return to a book which has no crookedness, we will remain in the confusion that we find ourselves in today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who follow the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those in a time of fitna go back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaws. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika.